Welcome to the Radio Rabbi program. We did it. Thanks to all of you who contributed to our GoFundMe initiative. Thanks to you, the Radio Rabbi program is back on the air. We plan to broadcast the Radio Rabbi program as a podcast that will air twice a month. Look for our announcement on Facebook so that all of you can tune into the podcast, which will appear on our website, rabbibarbara.com. As the Radio Rabbi program begins its 16th year, our mission is still the same. The Radio Rabbi is designed to bring listeners of all Jewish backgrounds, along with listeners of all different faiths, a lively program that features Jewish culture, tradition, timely topics, and interesting guests. And now, Rabbi Barbara Aiello, your Radio Rabbi.
Shalom and Boker Tov and hello to all of you. Welcome to the Radio Rabbi program. We're podcasting now and happy to have you with us, listeners from all over the world. We have a great show planned for you today, and that many of our listeners have requested this topic is one of the reasons why I chose it. What is the history of our bar and bat mitzvah ceremonies? Well, the Radio Rabbi does have the answer for you. I am podcasting to you today from my mountaintop village. It's called Serra Stretta. It's tucked into the mountains of Calabria, Italy, where I am rabbi here at congregation near Tamid del Sud. We are near the toe of the Italian boot. And our podcast sponsor today is Dr. Randy Ross, founder and CEO of the William David Company, a small business resource for growing your own small business. As today's Radio Rabbi podcast sponsor, Dr. Ross dedicates our program in honor and memory of her dear cousin, Seymour Rosenblum, passed away on February 9th of this year. He was the devoted son of Harry and Ida, brother to Sylvia, father to Richard and Ira, grandfather to Brandon, Corey, Sydney, Jillian, Erica, Jonathan, and Alex. He was a very special person, says Dr. Ross, really an amazing man who touched the lives of all that were blessed to know him. Thank you, Dr. Ross, and if any of you would like to dedicate a Radio Rabbi program in honor of a family simcha or in memory of a loved one, we'll give you those details later on in the program. So today, bar and bat mitzvah. Let's talk about that a little bit, especially since this is the season and I've started my bar and bat mitzvah distance learning program here in just a few weeks ago, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in just a moment. So what is the history and tradition of the ceremony? And we have some interesting facts about what has become one of the most popular events for Jews worldwide. Bar and bat mitzvah. First of all, what do those Hebrew words mean? Well, bar means son and bat means daughter. Mitzvah, which is commonly translated as good deed, literally has a different meaning. It means commandment. So to become a bar mitzvah means that a boy becomes the son of the commandment, while to become a bat mitzvah, that means that the girl becomes, that's right, a daughter of the commandment. Well, there is a modern Jewish interpretation that these young people have come of age and they are guided now by Jewish ethics and morals. They now take responsibility for their behavior. They are full-fledged members of their own synagogue community and of Klal Israel, of all the Jewish people. So what do we know about this tradition? Well, I have 10 kind of fast facts for you, interesting things about bar and bat mitzvah that maybe you didn't know. Number one, a young teen becomes a bar or a bat mitzvah. Now, often we hear something like Adam got bar mitzvahed or Emma got bat mitzvahed. Technically speaking, the phrase is not a verb. One becomes a bar or a bat mitzvah. One is called to the Torah as a bar or bat mitzvah. And when does that happen? Well, generally when a boy reaches 13 years of age or a girl reaches 12 years, which leads us to fast fact number two. And that is, you can't miss your bar or bat mitzvah. Now, early in my rabbinic career, an elderly man came to me quite upset. He said, Rabbi, I never told anybody this, but I missed my bar mitzvah. I was happy to erase his worries because it is impossible to miss one's bar mitzvah, or bat mitzvah for that matter. And why is that? Well, because the mitzvah is time sensitive. Whether one has a synagogue ceremony or not, at the 12th or the 13th birthday, the girl or boy is automatically a bar or a bat mitzvah. The ceremony can be held at any time after those birthdays. I recall a young man named Sam whose mother was stationed at the U.S. Naval Air Station in Sigonella near Catania on the island of Sicily. I had the pleasure of officiating for Sam's bar mitzvah ceremony in the chapel on the base. Sam was 15 years old, but he hadn't missed his bar mitzvah, no. But since there hadn't been a rabbi on base for several years, when I came to Italy, I was the first rabbi available for the service. Sam did a great job, and as we said, he had not missed his bar mitzvah. Well, fast fact number 3 has to do with Rabbi Michael Hilton, who wrote a wonderful book on the subject in 2014. The book is called Bar Mitzvah, A History. Now, in it, Rabbi Hilton traces every reference to Bar Mitzvah in the Torah, the Talmud, and other sacred Jewish writings and texts, and he found that in early Judaism, specifically during the Talmudic period, 1st through the 4th centuries, and the early medieval period, around the 5th and 6th centuries, the idea of a Bar Mitzvah was very different. And fast fact number 3, during those centuries, Rabbi Hilton found that a bar mitzvah, the ceremony, made no sense. Why? Because a young boy was allowed to participate in all religious observances as soon as the community felt he was fit to do so. Could be at 10 years of age, or maybe even as young as 7 years old. So what did these little boys do? Well, they had aliyot, meaning that they came to the bima and recited the blessings for the reading of the Torah. They wrapped tefillin, and some even fasted on Yom Kippur. In his research, Rabbi Hilton found that at age 11, children fasted until noon on Yom Kippur, and back in the day, at age 12, these same kids fasted all day. So number 3 on our bar mitzvah fast facts, early Jewish history tells us that boys became bar mitzvah at any age, depending on an adult's determination of individual maturity. So number 4. When did the bar mitzvah ceremony become popular? And fast fact number 4 is the first recorded Jewish coming-of-age ceremony, or bar mitzvah, happened in France all the way back in the 13th century. Well, what was it like? It was something very simple. The father of the bar mitzvah stood up in the sanctuary and made a simple statement. My son is now a man, and he is responsible for his own behavior. It wasn't until the later Middle Ages, when children were now barred from ritual observance, that a boy's coming of age became part of synagogue life. So, when was the actual beginning of a bar mitzvah ceremony where the boy actually did something important during a worship service? Finally, in the late 1500s to the early 1600s, the Ashkenazi Jews of Poland and Germany created an opportunity for a 13-year-old boy to wear tefillin, sometimes called phylacteries, those small boxes containing a prayer that is wrapped around the left arm and the head. The 13-year-old boy wrapped tefillin for the first time, and for the first time read from the Torah. Following the reading, the family would promise to give the synagogue a pound of wax for making Shabbat candles. Tefillah, Torah, and candle wax. Fast fact number 5, those were the elements of the first recorded bar mitzvah ceremony. The synagogue service was later followed by the tradition of purchasing new clothes for the bar mitzvah boy and a family home celebration called a seudat mitzvah, or religious feast, the party. But back then, it was during the party that the boy offered a drash, or what we now call a devar Torah, or the bar mitzvah speech. Let's take a break right now for something that has become a tradition on the Radio Rabbi program, and that is the Misha Berak, the prayer for healing. We pray for refuah shlema, for complete healing of body, mind, and spirit, and we say the names aloud of those among our friends and family members who are ill as we enlarge and amplify that spiritual energy and pray for complete healing. And today I've been asked to pray the Mishaberach prayer for Piero, Sandy, Dennis, Maria Christina, Janine, Janet, and Valentina. And now take a moment and say the names of your loved ones who are ill. As we enlarge and expand this, all the spiritual energy in the universe, and we listen to the beautiful words of Debbie Friedman, the Mishaberach prayer. That was beautiful, wasn't it? And now back to our fast facts about bar and bat mitzvah. Our sixth fast fact about bar and bat mitzvah has to do with the Sephardic culture and how Mediterranean Jews and Middle Eastern Jews celebrated a boy's coming of age. Well, in Sephardic communities, the main event was the wrapping of tefillin on the boy's 12th birthday, 1 year before his Jewish majority. This event prompted a big party where the bar mitzvah would pass his tefillin bag among the guests, who would fill it with silver coins that would then be presented to the boy's teacher. In Ashkenazi culture, the boy received a gift, but in Sephardic culture, there were no specific gifts given to the bar mitzvah boy himself. Well, fast fact number 7 has to do with girls. And what about the girls? Historians discovered evidence that Jewish families began honoring their daughters with a special meal for their 12th birthday in countries such as France, Italy, and Germany, and that happened about 200 years ago. Since girls physically mature at an age earlier than boys, 12 and not 13, that was the age chosen for Jewish girls' passage into adulthood. Gradually, the idea of bat mitzvah became more popular and it spread across Europe. However, it wasn't until 1922 that the first bat mitzvah in North America was celebrated. So, what is fast fact number 7? The day was March 18th, 1922, when Judith Kaplan, daughter of Mordecai Kaplan, the founder of the Reconstructionist Jewish movement, stepped up to the bima for what became North America's first bat mitzvah ceremony. Fast fact number 8. Well, which Jewish movement do you think popularized the bat mitzvah ceremony for all the girls who wanted one? Which Jewish movement do you think popularized the bat mitzvah ceremony for girls? Well, if you said the Reform movement, you would be mistaken. Yes, that's right. During the time of the first bat mitzvah, the Reform movement in America was undergoing many changes. As Reform Judaism began to move away from some traditions and began incorporating others, the bar mitzvah ceremony gave way, for example, to a confirmation event, which was a group ceremony for both boys and girls when they reached the age of 15. So it fell to the conservative movement to bring bat mitzvah to the masses. Later on, however, the Reform movement adopted the bat mitzvah ceremony for women and girls. And fast fact number 9, well, it is thanks to the advent of the bat mitzvah that women were finally permitted to participate fully with men in the synagogue service. Now, how did that happen? Well, rabbinic sages asked, how could a girl be called to the Torah as a bat mitzvah and then never have the chance to receive such an honor again? Well, both Reform and conservative Judaism grappled with this problem, and by the 1970s, a majority of congregations in both movements called women to the Torah. And fast fact number 10, well, destination bar and bat mitzvah ceremonies. Well, they are the newest development in the Jewish celebration. They offer an alternative to what has become, in some communities, the overblown and expensive party that rivals even a wedding reception. I know this because this is what I do here in Italy. Families join our Italian congregants, the majority of whom are descendants from crypto-Jews. We give families the opportunity to experience a part of the world where it has been very, very difficult to practice Judaism, let alone even acknowledge that their families were once Jewish. It is truly an eye-opening experience, especially since so many of us Americans have been complacent about our Jewish belief and practice. It is so gratifying to see our destination families mix and mingle with our local Italians, some of whom have driven hours to attend the service. And you can find out a whole lot more about our destination bar and bat mitzvah program. All you have to do is look on my website, www.rabbibarbara.com, and you'll find out more about all that we do right here in southern Italy. Well, I said that you could indeed dedicate a podcast to a friend or family member, and you can do that. Just write me an email, rabbi@rabbibarbara.com, rabbi@rabbibarbara.com, or phone me at 941-306-3255, 941-306-3255, and we will give you all the details for honoring a family simcha or the memory of a loved one on your very own podcast here on the Radio Rabbi Program. The Radio Rabbi is a pluralistic program. Now, what do we mean by that? Well, Reform, or Progressive, Orthodox, or Reconstructionist. Maybe you're Conservative or Renewal, Humanistic, Ashkenazi, or Sephardic like me. Are you part of the Anasim community? That means you might be Crypto-Jewish, Maranos, or Conversos. Are you a cultural, a secular, or even a gastronomical Jew? You know what? We're all part of the Mishpucha, part of a worldwide, wonderful Jewish family. As we say to you, welcome home. This is Rabbi Barbara Aiello, your radio rabbi. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.